Portland Sports Arena. This is Portland Wrestling.
And this is the Portland WrestleCast. I'm Jim Valley. Thanks for downloading this special free edition of the Portland WrestleCast, my show based on Don Owens' NWA Pacific Northwest territory. I grew up on it, and don't worry, you do not have to have watched it or even heard of Portland wrestling to get something out of these podcasts. Each episode, I set the stage for what was happening in the territory at the time. I'll play clips, tell the story of what was happening in front of the camera and behind the scenes, and provide context, and then we'll talk to one of the wrestlers who worked for Don Owen. Go in the archives. We've got episodes from Tom Pritchard, Raven, David Schultz, and some amazing stories from Mike Masters, Steve Regal, Rip Rogers, and many more. We also talk about the legends who are no longer with us, like Buddy Rose, Roddy Piper, Art Barr, and many more. All your favorites, too. Billy Jack, Rip Oliver. Go back in the archives. They're evergreen. You know, maybe you have some time over Christmas and New Year's. Just another reason to be a subscriber to WrestlingObserver.com. Well, it's one of the most pressing social issues, particularly for kids today. Bullying, a behavior in our society that we are trying to solve. But while it's unnecessary in life, bullying is a needed construct to create conflict in the imaginary world of professional wrestling. Mr. McMahon and his Kiss My Ass Club, Lay Cool and Mickey James, and The Grappler, and my guest, Carl Stiles. He's a former Pacific Northwest Heavyweight Champion, TV Champion, also an AWA Tag Team Champion briefly, with Hector Guerrero in Memphis under a mask as Dr. D. That was back when Memphis had a better relationship with Vern Gagne and the AWA. Carl Stiles started wrestling in 1985, a Southern gentleman from North Carolina, former powerlifter who knew and competed with Doug Furness. He also worked for Bill Watts, enhancement for Crockett, worked in Puerto Rico, and Carl Stiles came to Portland in the last few years of the territory. I want to thank Pretty Boy Doug Masters for connecting me with Carl. Doug, former professional wrestler, also in the archives of the Portland WrestleCast. He has his own podcast called Kayfabe Corner, very old school territorial show, guests like Black Bart, Wendell Cooley, and other guys that he ran the roads with. You can check it out, A Wrestler's Perspective from Back in the Day. Search Doug Masters on Facebook and Twitter. Carl Stiles stayed around the Northwest a year, plus or minus. He came in as a heel, and he made his debut in this interview segment with Buddy Rose, who had his own problems on this Saturday night in 1988, a hair match against Top Gun Fidel Sierra.
I got a Top Gun t-shirt here, and on the back of the t-shirt it says, Playboy Buddy versus Top Gun hair match, Portland Sports Arena, December 10th. 1988, and it's got a picture of a fat, bald-headed man. In other words, Top Gun and the promotion are selling these t-shirts with the confidence that I'm going to lose tonight, and if you people buy these t-shirts, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to put a stop to it with the promotion and Top Gun, because I might win the match, and if I win the match, I'm going to put t-shirts out on Top Gun. Now I want to talk about something else, about the man to my right here. This man here is Killer Carl Stiles. Now let me tell you about his credentials. The man's got the best body in professional wrestling next to mine. Now let me explain something. The man is issuing a challenge, and he's going to tell you what that challenge is right now.
Hey, I want to challenge Top Gun, if he's got the guts, to the TV belt. Because I've got the kind of body that these people want to see. And if Mr. Top Gun, if he thinks he's man enough, which I don't think he is, to beat myself, which I know he can't, I want him to sign for the match. And the TV title will be mine. He's not going to have any hair tonight because Mr. Rose is going to whoop him real bad.
You're talking next Saturday night. Right here at the Sports Arena, right?
Yes, sir. Next Saturday night, he won't have that belt. That belt will be mine because I'm the greatest, baby. I got the body.
Let me point out the body. Look at this body. 24-inch guns. He's got a 54-inch chest, a 34-inch waist, 34-inch thighs. The man's got the best body in professional wrestling. So, Top Gun, after you lose your hair tonight, put your title on the line next Saturday night against Killer Carl Stiles, and he'll be the new heavyweight champion, television champion. And I'll tell you what, and if anybody buys these t-shirts, I'm going to put a stop to it one way or the other. Top Gun, you're mine tonight.
On a side note, Buddy is obviously trying to recreate the success of his most famous match with Roddy Piper. Now, this hair match in 1988 drew about 800 people to the Portland Sports Arena, a far cry from the thousands and the glory days just 8 years earlier in his match with Piper. Now, you can hear in that interview, Carl Stiles is a pure heel. Pretty standard stuff. You know, I think it's so you don't have any idea what lies ahead. Killer Carl Stiles joined the Wrecking Crew, the top heel group led by the Grappler. And as time went on, it became pretty obvious that Killer Carl Stiles didn't exactly live up to the name, as you can hear in this edition of The Rose Garden, Buddy Rose's version of Viper's Pit.
You built me a rose garden, and I found out that these dozen roses are from koala tea florists over there by Payless and Orchards, like the koala bear, is that right? And then these two chairs, where did you get these two comfortable chairs?
From Renttown, USA.
Renttown, USA, which chair is mine?
The big one's for you, buddy.
The big one's for me. I love it. You did a great job. All right. The Rose Garden has been built. I'm sitting in my nice, comfortable chair, and I want to introduce my first guest in the Rose Garden. I want to introduce the television heavyweight champion, Carl Stiles. Carl Stiles, welcome to the Rose Garden. Have a seat. Sit down. Are you thirsty? You want something to drink?
Sure.
Hey, Tammy, bring us a cup of waters. All right. What service in the Rose Garden. I love it. Carl, I just had a tough match. You know, and I've been working out. I want to look just like you, and you got one hell of a body. You work out all the time. Isn't that right?
Buddy, I work out about 6 days a week, and I'm on a good program now, and I'm benching pretty close to 500, and I squat, and I work out real hard. And, you know, in this sport, you've got to be in good condition, and as yourself know, you know, you got to be, you know, in top condition and be ready to, you know, take on anything that comes your way.
Right. Do you ever sweat and get tired and thirsty like me? You're welcome. You have a glass of water for you if you want. You can have a glass of water. Go ahead. Carl, wait. Look, what you just spilled it all over. This is my Rose Garden. He just spilled the water. I don't believe it. Listen, we're going to talk about your body. We're going to talk about body parts. Why don't we talk about your bad eye? Why don't you tell the people about the bad eye you got?
Buddy, my workouts are going...
No, let's not talk about your workouts. Let's talk about your bad eye.
Well, buddy, my workouts are...
I said, let's talk about your bad eye. The people don't know about it. I want to know more about it. Tell the people about the bad eye.
Well, buddy, I've told you before, not in great detail, but... I have no vision in this eye. You know, I
got, why haven't you got any vision in that eye?
I got hurt when I was a kid. You know, my brother.
You got hurt when you were a kid?
Yeah.
What happened?
My brother had a knife and I ran into it and I lost my.
Had a what? Had a what?
Had a knife. You know.
A knife?
Yeah.
And what'd you do?
I ran into it and I lost the vision in my right eye. I can't see.
So you can't see out of your right eye?
Yeah.
You can only see out of your left. I didn't. Are you serious?
Yes, I told you I had a bad vision in my eye before, but, you know.
How old were you?
5 years old.
How old are you now, Carl?
26.
So for 50, so does that make 19? That's a long time. You've only been able to see out of your left eye? I don't believe it. One eye. So you only got, is that a glass eye?
It's a prosthesis, what it is.
What's prosthesis mean?
It's not real, you know, it's an eye, but it's not, you know, a real eye, you know, but it's, you know, it's not glass or nothing, you know.
But, okay, now you're the television heavyweight champion, and you got a great body, but you got a flaw, you got a bad eye. Do you want me to feel sorry for you? Are we supposed to feel sorry for you?
No, I don't want no sympathy. You know, I'm just trying to do the best I can. I got the grappler. He's helping me, and he's working with me, and he's trying to, you know, do some things with me. And anyway, you know, just hopefully everything will work out.
The grappler, yeah, he had, you know, he's helped you a lot. You should listen. Grappler, you want to let him through, Colonel. It's okay. Did you hear this story about his eye, grappler?
I heard the story, and I want to tell you something. It's the saddest story I ever heard in my whole life, Carlstyle. That's the saddest story I ever heard in my life.
I got some tears, too.
Hey, you crying, buddy? Here, you cry, wipe your face up, buddy. Hey,
I feel sorry for him, too.
Let me tell you something. Don't tell him again about your eye, because my grandma might be listening, and she might cry, too. You know what I mean, Carl? Stand up, boy. Let me tell you something, Carl Stiles.
This is a Rose Garden. Quiet.
Hey, shut up. And you listen to me, okay, boy? I'm going to tell you something. When I heard that you were invited to come out in the Rose Garden, I told you to come out here and talk about the grappler. Talk about the Northwest Heavyweight Champion. Talk about the man in the driver's seat. Right? Hey, right or wrong?
Right. That's what you said.
Why aren't you up here talking about? I want you to tell these people about me right now. Tell them how great I am. Tell them what a great champion I am, Carl Stiles. Tell them about it. I don't want to hear about the eye.
You know, you got the belt. You're the champion.
Look right. Hey,
don't look at me. Look at him. Look at the camera.
Look right into the camera and tell those people.
You grappler, you know, he's a great champion. You know, he's the best.
He's the what?
He's the best they are up here, you know.
What? Look in the camera. Look in the camera and tell the people.
He's, you know, a good champion, yeah.
He's the what?
He's, you know, a great champion.
He's a great champion. He said you were a great champion.
No, I'm not a great champion. I'm the greatest champion you ever known. I'm the man that led you to be the TV champion. I'm the Northwest Heavyweight Champion. And I'm the greatest wrestling coach in wrestling today, too. Tell him about it, Carl.
Well, you know, he's grappler's helping me, and he's a great coach. And, you know,
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at something, Carl. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Tell you one thing. Next time I send you up here, you get it right. Let's get out of here, boy.
All right, you heard it. You heard it. I'm going to relax in my recliner from the Rose Garden. One thing I think you should remember, one thing, Carl Stiles, he might have a parents that are set, a brother and sister, or I think Carl Stiles might just be keeping an eye out for somebody, and it might be you, Mike Golden.
What's funny about this interview is they're basically sitting in lounge chairs like you'd find in a living room. Not quite recliners, but still, it's a little odd for a segment. Buddy is not the same either. He's really heavy. He had his head shaved from losing that hair match. He would not stick around Portland very long. As a matter of fact, they'd leave the sign, take down the Rose part, and put up Fiesta Garden for Al Madrill to take over. But Buddy is, speaking of older, he's older and heavier, and they're really, in this time period, isn't anywhere for him to go wrestle. You know, he would do some opening matches, as you probably may know, for the WWF in 1990. Yep, the era of the blowaway diet. Carl Stiles was the grappler's muscle in the Wrecking Crew, but he still never got any respect. It was sort of, you know, kind of like Mice and Men. You know, the grappler was the bully, the guy in charge, and he kept Carl Stiles, who was a very kind individual, under his thumb. Well, after weeks, maybe months, of being bullied, Carl Stiles had finally had enough. He wanted to prove himself to the leader of the Wrecking Crew, the grappler. But the grappler did his best to put a stop to that in this interview from the Crow's Nest.
Everybody saw that. You know something, Carl? You try to help somebody, and they always turn their back on you, like Carl Stiles, for instance. He starts listening to the people, and you know, he ain't real smart. He's only got one eye, and he ain't got no brain. And I should have known he turned his back on me, because one time I met his family, you know, and his old mama, she don't have but one eye either, and she ain't real smart either. Matter of fact, his whole family is real dumb, you know, and they all got just one eye, just like that stupid Carl Stiles. But I tried to help him. You can't help some people. baby can't help me. Turns his back on me. Starts listening to the fans.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
I'm tired of you talking about my family, and I'm tired of you talking about my ass. We ain't gonna wait till no TV's off. We gonna fight now.
No, you can't. No. Not out here. This is not supposed to be on television. We can't start it now.
This is great, Claude. This ain't supposed to be on TV. I can't believe this. Carl Stiles is going after his former mentor, the grappler.
No, this can't be happening. The match is starting right now. Stiles and the grappler. Look at this. He's extending him above. Look at that power. Look at that strength.
We got up here. Six are going. The fans are going bananas here, Don Carlos.
We got to get out of here because this cannot be on television. This match cannot be on television. It's not suited for TV.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't care if there's TV time. The people at home are going to get to see it. They're lucky to be watching Don Owens promotions because nobody else would show this match on TV.
Listen, what? You're just a troublemaker. Why don't you go out there and get in the middle of them right now?
Hey, they're doing just fine by themselves, baby. This is one heck of a match. And you know, I tell you, I hope it doesn't end before TV goes so the people at home have to miss the end of the match. They'll serve them right for not showing up at the arena.
We've got the teacher going against the trainer, the coach, and the grappler. Taking the leg out of, from under Carl Stiles. This is not supposed to be on television. We're not supposed to be here right now. It was not supposed to start up here in the crow's nest. They fought all the way out through the crowd into the ring. Look at that. Wrapping his leg around that iron post. Grappler working on Carl Stiles. And now he's just twisting that left leg around the post.
He's trying to tear the ligaments. The grappler's going to tear the ligaments off of Carl Stiles.
I hope you're able to mark down Tuesday, March 28th, T-Doll, Scott Peterson, and thanks to Scotty, the body is going to be Doll and Peterson out there.
Hey, don't you worry about that. That's already set, baby. But right now, the grappler's going to work on Carl Stiles' leg, baby. Carl Stiles, I tell you what, he's got a lot of nerve claiming he's going to take the boot off, claiming he's going to unmask the grappler. He's getting his just desserts right now, baby.
Next Saturday night, mark it down, get your tickets early and be here. This place is going to be packed, it's going to be jumping. We've got two giants. We got Nord the Barbarian teaming up with Buddy Rose to go against the American Ninja, Brian Adams.
Oh, brutal clothesline by Carl Stiles. The grappler's reeling, Don Cost.
Yes, he is. He is rocking and reeling now, and Stiles working on him. It's going to be Adams teaming up with Jonathan Boyd in a tremendous tag match next Saturday. Look at he's taking that boot off. He's taking that so-called, look at that.
The man's handicap. He's going for the man's handicap. I can't believe it. That'd be like the grappler going after Carl Stiles. Good. I don't believe I'm seeing this.
Look at this. He's just pulling up the whole ring. Stiles is going to take that boot off of him, and he's going to destroy the boot. Watch this. Nobody.
He's got no right to go for the man's handicap. The man was crippled since he was a child. It's not fair. It's a travesty. I don't believe this.
I'll tell you, he's about as crippled as your mouth. That is not a fair. Look at that. He's got it off. Carl Stiles has got the boot off the grappler. Now he's going to go for the mask. He's going to go for the mask next.
See, that's what shows how dumb Carl Stiles is. He got the boot off, and he didn't use it against the grappler. But now he's going for the mask. He's trying to tear the mask off.
He's tearing that mask. Look, his hair sticking out through the top of the mask. Now he's going to use that boot. Look at that. Huh?
He's loading the boot. He's loading. I mean, it's not. Oh!
Right across the face. The grappler is out of the ring. Where's he going? He's heading back to the dressing room, Scotty.
No, the grappler won't do that. He'll be back. I'm telling you, the grappler won't work for anyone. Not especially not Carl Stiles.
Stiles is going back there after it. Stiles is going to carry this match out into the parking lot. If he has to, this is absolutely pandemonium. I can't believe what's going on here.
He got the boot. He got that orthopedic boot. And he used it against his mentor, his coach. I can't believe Carl Stiles would resort to such a lowly tactic like that.
And he's got half the mask off. You saw him tear. I mean, he didn't bother trying to take it off. He was tearing that mask off.
He used a knife to cut it open. That's how he got the top split. He used a knife. He's using foreign objects. He should be disqualified.
He didn't use a knife. He used his hands. That's power and strength in his hands.
He could have ripped that mask. There's no way. If Sandy Barr should disqualify. Hey, what's Sandy Barr doing with that boot in the ring?
Yeah, he's checking it for foreign objects. I'll tell you, that's what he's doing. Huh? That so-called boot that he loads all the time. The grappler has loaded that boot, and he has He has about ended careers of pro wrestlers with that boot.
No, he hasn't. That boot's very illegal. Sandy Barr has no right to be fondling and checking that boot. He has no right. He should put it down. It's not his property.
This place is going crazy. Absolutely crazy. Look at this. Carl Stiles, he yanked the door off the dressing room. He yanked the door off the dressing room, and he's got the door out in the ring right now.
I hope Don Owens is going to make him pay for it.
Man, look at this. Look at this, Stiles. What's Stiles going to do? Is he going to... What in the world is he doing with the door? This place has absolutely gone crazy. People are
Grappler, this ain't over yet. There ain't no door between the side. You come on out here, and you can finish this, boss.
I don't know. Hey, if the grappler's smart, he's going to stay wherever he is.
Get your ass, boy. You understand? Anybody got a saw?
Yeah,
he wants to
saw that boot up.
He's got no right. That's private property.
Here comes the grappler. Here comes the grappler after his boot and after Stiles. Look at this. Look at hold it. There's North the Barbarian. The Barbarian's getting in the ring. What's he doing? Grappler's bleeding. And look, Stiles is bleeding. North the Barbarian and Grappler. This can't be.
We've got a beard stick there. It's all breaking down. North the Barbarian. There's blood covering the Grappler. They got the door. They're going to clothesline him with the door.
No.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Carl Stiles.
I can't believe this. They just laid that door on him, and Barbarian comes crashing down on the door. That's on
320 pounds. Again, they're going to bury Carl Stiles in the middle of the ring.
This could be the end of a career. This could be the end of the career of Carl Stiles. The grappler just leveled Sandy Barr, the referee. What in the world is going on? Barbarian, the giant, the grappler out there attacking Stiles, attacking the referee. Here comes Scott Peterson. Peterson's in there. He's working on the grappler. The grappler throws him outside. Oh, my gosh. I've never seen anything like this at the arena.
Barry's coming off the top rope with the door.
Here comes Brian Adams, the American Ninja. Brian Adams coming in there. They need him in there.
He's taking the ropes. Brian Barbarian lost his balance. He's following the door. And Brian Adams is a house of fire, baby.
Can you believe this? There's Top Gun. Everybody's in there. Brian Adams and the Barbarian going at it. Grappler and Top Gun. Stiles is lay still on his back.
It's unbelievable. Everybody's open. Peterson on the floor. And another Barbarian kicks Danny Barr. Brian Ninja nails the Grappler.
I can't believe what's happening out there, Scotty. Look at Brian Adams. He's pulverizing the Grappler.
Oh, another Barbarian provides. He nailed the American Ninja. He got him choking over the top rope. And the Grappler's back on top of Carl Stiles. He's choking him out. Here comes Jonathan Boyd.
This is absolutely too brutal. It's too violent. This cannot be on television. It wasn't supposed to be on TV. We've got to get out of here.
No, we can't. It's pure mayhem. Jonathan Boyd. Oh, he just had part of the Grappler.
This is going to get way. It's out of hand now. It's going to get uglier. And we've got to get out of here. This wasn't supposed to be on TV at all.
That's what the people get for not coming to the arena to see themselves, for being too cheap to spend the money.
Ladies and gentlemen, be here next Saturday night. That tremendous tag team action. We've got to get out of here. This is Don Cox from the Portland Sports Arena, to the House of Action.
Nord the Barbarian is the same guy from Mid-South, AWA, and was the Berserker in WWF. Scott Peterson, Steve Dahl's original partner in the Southern Rockers, left wrestling not long after, and he passed away in a motorcycle crash. Brian Adams, you know him as Crush, his first gimmick in Portland was American Ninja. As you can tell, it's quite a crew here in this time frame, and we'll hear all about it, get his thoughts on everybody in the territory and everything that happened in this time period, and learn a lot more. Here's part one of my interview with Carl Stiles. But first, as always, a word from our sponsors.
Only at Tom Peterson's. Super service means free delivery on this three-piece contemporary sectional. You can sit and relax, recline and relax, or even sleep and relax. Best of all, you can save $300. You get all three pieces, inclining love seat, queen sleeper, and upholstered corner table. Only $6.99. That's just $30 a month. Now that's Tom Peterson's, the happy place to buy. It's worth the trip.
So where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Murphy, North Carolina. I had a match with Reno Riggins down there, and he really pumped that town, Murphy, North Carolina. But I'm originally from Murphy.
Did you grow up watching Jim Crockett Promotions?
I grew up later on watching Jim Crockett. I Wahoo McDaniels and Ric Flair and Greg Valentine and the Young Bloods and wrestled Mark Youngblood over in Puerto Rico and had such a good match. Harley watched it, Harley Race, and Harley said, "Carl, that's a damn good match." And I was sort of middle of the card. I just left Portland, Oregon, and I went down there, and he was a very good worker, that Mark Youngblood, and I got to wrestle that Jose Gonzalez, the Invader, you know, the guy that got that, killed Brody, but he wanted to work with me, so we started a program the next week. Mark Youngblood seen me back at the motel, and he said, "Carl, he's wanting to work a program with you." He said, "You must have worked with that guy many, many times before." And he said, no. And they just kept on, "Oh, you worked with him in Portland. Oh, you worked with him in Kansas City." So finally, Youngblood said, "Listen, Jose, what can I say? The guy can work." So I was main event then. You know, I was wrestling Abdullah, Carlos, and all the rest of them. But I did grow up watching Georgia and Tennessee. I watched Nick Gulas because, I was right there on the verge of Tennessee. I was actually about an hour and a half from Chattanooga, and that's where I did get start my training, was in Chattanooga. And Terry Gordy's uncle trained me. And He was a good trainer. He had an independent channel, 61, out of Chattanooga. And, he worked with Lou Thesz and them some. And I think Gordy got trained by the Mongolian Stomper. He took him up to Canada when he was 15 years old. But he was a heck of a talent, Gordy was. And his nephew, Richard Slinger, we ran shows together later on. He was a very good worker, Richard Slinger.
Where did you start wrestling at after your training?
Well, I started, the cousin there, he worked for Nick Gulas. So he runs towns, spot shows for Nick. He runs South Pittsburgh and JC's is big then. He worked with the JC's and we run this little town up here, Murphy, and that's where I first started. And then I went down to Chattanooga, JD, or we called him Captain Hook, because he had a prosthetic arm there. And we run the hitching post down there in Chattanooga. Then we'd go down there to the hitching post and train about three times a week. And I was a power lifter then. And he taught me how to work a little. And, I started doing jobs for Mike Jackson. And went down to Mid-South Promotions, and Cowboy Bill Watts, I was a big guy and I could move good, threw really good punches down there. Dick Murdoch, he took a liking to me. And the first Mid-South territory, those folks are really like me down there. I got along really good with Kamala, Ray Candy, Skandor Akbar. He really liked me. Dickie Murdoch liked me. Then Dutch and Bill Dundee got to be good friends of mine. And Dundee got me booked into Kansas City later on. But I worked with Dutch and Continental for the Fullers. We worked Boondock Spot, he worked with us, and he is a good worker. And we had Wendell Cooley and Tom Pritchard. Danny Davis, he, trained for McMahon up there, but Danny was a heck of a worker. And a good friend of mine, Doug Furness, sir, he was a really, really nice guy there. He was a power lifter, and he is a world champion power lifter, and I was very good at power lifting, too. I had about pretty close to 600 bench there at one time. But took a couple of boys from Murphy over to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and Furness put on a demonstration. So Furness was a good guy there. He done very well in Japan as well. But I'm on YouTube wrestling Furness, but he was a nice guy, Doug. Doug was a good guy there. I hate he passed on, but he certainly had a good heart. And
so how did you, Carl, come to get booked to Portland?
Well, I think that Tony Anthony is pretty good friends with Lynn Denton there, and Tony liked me there, and Sid Vicious was there, and you know, everybody liked me pretty good, apparently, you know, and plus I was a pretty decent worker, and you know, looked very well there. And I just got out of Kansas City. I went to Kansas City, and then I worked for Jody down there at Deep South, but I wasn't getting a lot of, you know, we wasn't running but about six matches a month. So I went to Continental, but then Murdoch got me into Europe. But I went to Tony Anthony's pretty good friends with Lynn, and so they recommended that, you know, and Dutch is wanting to do some things with me, so Lynn and Dutch probably figured out that, you know, I'd be a good you know, position up there. They're going to do a little something different, and you know, it could really help, you know, get me into the limelight, you know. And then Piper come up later too, so that certainly didn't hurt.
So here you are, Southern boy, country boy, North Carolina, coming up to the Northwest. Was there a culture shock for you coming up to Portland in the Northwest?
Not really there, because, you know, it's kind of country up there. Got a lot of logging and a lot of, you know, working type people like you do down in here. You know, you got a lot of foreign people down in here. So, you know, when I first started as a culture shock, because, you know, at Mid-South, we was in New Orleans, Houston, Little Rock, Shreveport. You know, you hit them big venues, and I couldn't get around. But Dutch, you know, Tulsa and Oklahoma City everywhere, you know. So anyway, Dutch got me around. But Portland, it was, I fit in really good up there really quick. The, you know, the women up there were extremely nice, and it was, you know, the women, you know, Europe was pretty good, but Portland was even better. So, you know, just a very good place to be there. You know, it was, you know, just, you know, just a nice place, and the weather was good. You know, the scenery was as good as you could find. It's like down here, you know, in the Smoky Mountains or Appalachian Mountains, you know, it's very, very scenic down in here, but it's just as scenic up there in the Northwest. And the ocean was really nice as well, you know. So I was fortunate enough to get up there, and everything sort of come together, and you know, had a pretty good run up there, and enjoyed all the people up there, the fans and the workers and everybody else there, and the promoters. I like Don Owens and Barry Owens, and so, you know, they treated me very well up there. So, you know, I enjoyed being up there, and was glad I got the opportunity. You know, we had some, drew some pretty good houses, and, you know, drew some money, and I think people enjoyed what we was doing.
So what was your reaction? I know a lot of times people see the Portland Sports Arena, that converted bowling alley. What was your reaction the first time seeing that?
Well, you know, I've worked in a lot of, you know, doing independent shows. You know, you work a lot of high schools, and you work a lot of different you know, venues, you know. But I thought they had that thing fixed up really nice. People seemed to enjoy coming, and they had very good seats, and everybody, you know. Then they shot the TV there on Saturday night. That's the night of the big show, and a lot of the people that come, you know, went back and seen themselves or seen where they're sitting on the TV there. And, you know, Piper had me throwing out when I was doing that country boy gimmick. Well, even before that, he had me throwing out candy, and you know, when I done the country boy gimmick, he had me bringing animals out to the ring, you know, and that helped me get over good with the kids, and I enjoy kids, you know. And so it was a kid friendly gimmick, you know, the country boy gimmick, and I done pretty good with it. I wish I'd stayed with that. I wish I hadn't left Oregon and just stayed with it, because McMahon was really wanting me there to do that, from what I heard from Carlos. And then I got food poisoning down there in Puerto Rico, and in the hospital 13 days. That about ended me there. I was in bad shape. That old doctor didn't think I was going to make it.
So when you came into Portland, did you live at the Bomber?
Yeah, I was there. That's where I stayed at. It's a good place. I had a little restaurant up there, and food was good, you know. And, you know, it was a nice little place there. Had a nice, had plenty of room. And Al Madrill, he was always over there. And so that's where I started at, was the Bomber. It was, and they had plenty of gyms there. They had two or three good, really good gyms there in Portland. They had that Jungle Gym, there's a girl that run that Jungle Gym, Nikki Fuller. She come in third in Olympia one year. And we had that Milwaukee Health Club. We worked out there. And then Billy Jack had a gym up there in Oregon City. So I took advantage of all three of them. I trained at all three of them. And they was all three of them very, you know, good gyms for what I needed. And we always got pretty good workouts when we went in there.
Now, you mentioned the country boy gimmick. We'll get to that later. But when you first came in, you were a heel. Killer Carl Stiles. Was that the plan from the beginning, or did you know that maybe you were going to be a babyface down the line?
Well, he told me what he was going to do. You know, Len was a good guy there. He was an honest guy. He told me there that it's pretty well going to build a territory around me. He said what he's going to do, and Piper noted it there when he came in as well. I'd sit in there after the Saturday night show, me and, I was pretty good friends with Johnny Nord, too, there. He about killed me every time I worked with him. He's the stiffest worker I ever worked with, and nobody much wanted to work with him. And first night he come in, you know, he beat the heck out of the whole territory, and, you know, all the rest of them was complaining, if I had to work with him, I'm leaving, I'm quitting, I don't want to work with him. So Piper come up to me and he said, Stiles, how was it with Nord tonight? I said, he's laying it in, Roddy, but I said, you know, it's TV and he's trying to draw money. I said, it ain't nothing there that I couldn't take. You know, and he broke a folding metal chair across my back that night. So Piper said, Stiles is the one that took the worst beating and he's the only one that didn't complain. He said, I like that. I ended up with two belts. I was Northwest Heavyweight Champion. I had the TV Championship as well. But I know Johnny from Mid-South, my first territory. And there's all them good people down there. We had Randy Colley and Billy Dundee and Dutch and Kamala and Dickie Murdoch and Eddie Gilbert. Eddie was a good guy. We hardly ever had a day off. He took me and Jerry Gray, and Jerry worked up in the Northwest. Jerry Gray was a good guy. We wrestled in the Superdome together as a tag team. But anyway, Eddie had us over to his apartment, you know, and he had a pretty nice apartment. Men and Gray was at a little old motel, Leroy's Motel there in Alexandria. But, John was a good guy there. I liked him, but like I said, he was reckless out there. But, nice guy. Always liked him.
Well, we'll ask you more about Nord here, but Piper, what was the relationship? Was Piper like an advisor? Was he booking and Len was kind of carrying out his orders? From what you could see, how did that work in Portland between Grappler and Piper and booking?
Well, I think Roddy done more of the TVs there. You know, I think he booked the TVs more, him and Len together. I don't think, and they worked well together. I know, you know, we got along good there, you know. I never did drink no beer except maybe on Saturday night. But, you know, I drank some then, because I worked my butt off all week, you know, and drank a little beer up there. We had that Rainier we drank at, you know, at the matches had sold it, and or they sold it at the sports arena there, but I think that they pretty much just got together and figured out what would be the best to draw money. And when something worked pretty good, you know, both of them sort of had a hand in it, from what I've seen, you know. And me and Nord is just up there, you know, listening to what was going on. You know, we didn't have a hand in the booking or nothing, but we all stayed in there Saturday night till you know, 1 or 2 in the morning, then we might go out and do a little something after that. But I think they had a good relationship. Len and Roddy, I think, got along extremely well and worked well together. And Roddy, you know, had a great mind for the business, and Len as well. You know, he'd been around. He'd been there in Mid-South and Dallas, and so he'd seen all these other territories, what worked and what didn't. So I think that sort of, you know, bode well for us, that having two good minds like that together sort of made things a lot easier. So, and it was better for the people.
You had obviously been in a few territories. You mentioned Goulash, you mentioned Mid-South and others. How did you see Portland versus the places you'd been? How did you feel it was run?
Well, I think it was run. I worked for Robert Fuller. I was in with Robert pretty good. Me and Dutch Roper, Robert and Jimmy Golden. I was running shows up here in 2007 and 2008. I used Jimmy. He's out of Murrayville, Tennessee. Now, Jimmy's a good worker, and Robert is a good worker, and they're good guys. But they run a pretty good territory. It's laid back. I had an old Northwest buddy there, old John Boyd. He's my partner down there in Continental. And, you know, John has broke all the heck. So I would get in there and take the bumps. I could take some down bumps. You know, you could watch me again. Furnace, I went up about 10 foot an hour on the backdrop. But I'd get to, you know, take the bumps. And then when it's time to get to heat, I'd tag John in. So John really liked me there. But it's just a laid-back territory. It was a well-run territory. Jody now, he had that deep south. And He ran a good territory. You know, well, it wasn't really a territory. It was just, like I said, we didn't run a lot. I worked for Bob Geigel and Bob Brown, and they ran a good territory. You know, Rip Rogers, he loved me to death. I wrestled as a crusher Carl Kovacs up there. And Rip really took an interest in me. He'd even go out there and watch me work and tell me what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. But I had to have my, you know, major eye surgery and was out for about 3 months. When I did come back, I was pretty depressed because, you know, when you have eye surgery like I had there in Kansas City, it does tend to, it's pretty close to the brain, just put it that way. So, but anyway, they all run good territories. I think Portland probably ran the best. I think it was, you know, Piper being there certainly made it much better, in my opinion, you know. But it was run very good up there when I was there, you know. You know, everybody seemed to be pretty close on the same page. And Don Owens, he always paid me really good as well, you know. So,
what was your impression of Don Owen?
I thought Don was a really good guy there. He was an older guy, but, you know, he liked to have a little fun there. He drank a few beers with myself and Roddy and Len and John and Murray, you know, would drive him back to Eugene. And Don was a good guy there and had a, you know, a respect for the business there that, you know, like all those old-timers. I worked for Jerry Jarrett. I worked for him and been to Jerry Jarrett's house a time or two. They're doing something there that never did really take off because, now, Jarrett and him, I didn't think they ran that good a, you know, place down in there. I was in good with Dundee and I was in pretty good with Dutch. Lawler, I never was around him much. And Jared, I worked with Jeff for several times, but it seemed to, you know, I didn't see them, well, you know, we done something with this eye thing and they just dropped it. You know, and look what Len and Piper done with it. You know, they made a fortune with it. And, you know, but they didn't do nothing down there with Jarrett. So, you know, that's, you know, apparently they didn't think he was going to draw or didn't want to fool with it. But we did up there, and I think it took off pretty good for us.
Hey, what about the full Nelson? Did Don give you that? He always gave the full Nelson to strong guys. Was that something you brought in, or did Don have you use it?
I never did use it before I got up there, you know, and I got up there, and Don there said there that all the strong guys there used it, you know, Jimmy Snuka and Ventura and Billy Jack, and he said that that's going to be my finish. So, and it, you know, it was a good finish for me up there because people really believed in it. He got that move over. And, you know, he got it over, and he got it over good. People believed in that move, and Don believed in it. And if the promoter believes in it, usually the fans will believe in it as well. So they done a good job getting that over. I'll give them, 100% on that.
One of the things that they also got over is Buddy Rose, who was still in the territory. And we can talk about Buddy in a minute, but you did a TV interview in the Rose Garden where he kept bothering you about your eye. The eye is real, right? That's a real issue that you have.
Oh, yeah, it's a real issue. I've got a prosthetic eye there, when they blinded me up there, I told Piper I was going to sell it because I had glaucoma in it there, and I had to have it removed when I was 17. I was going to on the All-State checklist and missed about 3 weeks and 2 games, and I still made All-Conference. I'd have made All-State easily that year and would have got a bunch of offers, but the OI busted and had to have it removed. And I told Roddy how intense the pain was. I said, it hurt me so bad I was throwing up. So, I said, I'll act like I'm throwing up over there. So that's how I sold it. And Piper said, who better than Styles to know how to sell this? So he said, Carl, you done good. So, he's pleased the way I sold it. But
is it hard to wrestle? Is it hard to wrestle with just limited vision?
Well, I played football. Like I said, I was on the All-State checklist, and I would have easily made All-State. And then I played a little at college over at Western Carolina, and I was so good, I was hitting these guys. I was knocking them 5 and 6 yards and putting them on their back. I had them begging me not to hit them as hard as I could. And I was just back in 77, I was the strongest guy on the team. I was benching about 390, and I was doing 250 pounds over my head there. So we wasn't into the squats and everything much in, but I got into that later when I was a competitive power lifter, like I was saying with Doug Furness. And I've competed against a former world champion, or that Paul Wren. I about beat him up in Gatlinburg, but he's having a little bit of an off day, and I had a pretty good day and should have beat him, really, but I didn't. But I had a good day. But that's where I met, we first met Furness. Like I said, he done good for those kids. And he's a good hand and a good guy. But that's sort of how everything got started with him.
So when you first came into Portland as a heel, I believe your first matches were with Fidel Sierra Top Gun. Is that right?
I think that was it there. Lynn was in Japan, so they was just sort of wanting to sort of get me in, and then they kept me as a heel, I think, for about a month, and then they wanted to get into that gimmick because they thought it was going to draw money. And so once we got into the gimmick, it was full steam ahead. I done a telethon, me and Lynn, and Roddy done a telethon, I think. Well, I know we done one. So, we got that thing to moving and got a lot of interest with it. Piper had a lot of the rock stations, doing things with us and coming to the shows. But, it started moving in pretty fast there once we got into that gimmick. There's something to do all the time, It was never ending. I was having to try to get this thing over, and we'd go to a TV station down there and do segments for the WWF show there, show Lynn slapping me or something around a little, and so it was busy.
Well,
it paid off,
Let's back up just one second here before we get into the whole heel turn, because it's brilliant. But when you first got there, you're with Fidel Sierra, Top Gun, who was a big baby face at the time, and off and on, he's been in the territory by this time 10 years. So he's been around, but he also knows the territory really well. Did he have to teach you anything about what fans in the Northwest like or expect in matches?
Not really there. They just sort of let me sort of find it on my own there. They seen that I was good with the, you know, with the kids there. You know, I'd give kids pictures, wouldn't charge them, sign autographs. And so they seen that's probably going to be a pretty natural baby face. I mean, you can tell somebody that's going to either be a good baby face or a good heel. I wasn't a bad heel there, according to Harley, but, you know, that baby face has... You know, like I said, people started really coming. You know, I'd walk in the building to get a heck of a pop. You know, so you know what they done was got me over. You know, I helped the situation. You know, along as well, but the way they got the thing going, they was the ones that really got this thing over because it was their ideals. And I just took what I could do to make it better, and you know, I'd listen to them. You know. You know, the best thing to do is listen to somebody that knows a lot more than what you know. So,
Did you notice any differences in a Portland crowd versus a crowd in Mid-South or Tennessee? How would you compare what works for the Northwest versus what works anywhere else? Is it the same or is it different?
It was the same. People, you know, in Puerto Rico, they liked a lot of the blood there. You know, once I was in the main events with Abdullah was a good friend of mine. We had a few things going up this way, and some old guy that said he was going to try to work with us dead, and that I ended up getting hurt, which I'll get into that later. I got a GoFundMe page, but I'll get into that later. But, you know, it's people's, you know, difference, you know, like down in Puerto Rico, they like a lot of the brawling and a lot of the blood, you know, get color a lot. And Tennessee likes a lot of gimmicks. And I think, you know, Lynn sort of brought some of the Tennessee stuff up to Portland, and I think they got into it as well. You know, they got into some things that was a little different there that probably hadn't seen in a while there. So he brought, you know, he worked for Mid-South. I know he worked for the Fullers. And he worked for a lot of the Southern people up in here. I'm sure he worked for some of the Atlanta offices down in there. You know, and Dutch and all of them did as well. Dutch worked for Atlanta, and Dundee worked mostly for Tennessee, either Goulas or Joe. And he was a booker. He was a booker at Mid-South. So,
you know, you make a really great point that Len got there in 87 and it was kind of in a lull. They really weren't doing much. And really, Portland was a pretty straightforward promotion. Promos, the occasional angle, blood, grudge match. There wasn't this Tennessee style like you're talking about. Like, for example, what they did with you, you know, with the grappler, you know, picking on you and finally turning you babyface and turning you into Country Carl Styles. But I guess my question is, you felt that the fans picked up on all of this, even though it was a completely different booking style. It was really much more theatrical and much more like Tennessee. You felt the fans adapted to it pretty easily.
Oh, of course, you know. And then, you know, you had Piper there. He was very theatrical, you know. He had a mind that, you know, Piper had worked everywhere. He brought in Al Tomko for us, you know. And Al Tomko, he was one of the biggest promoters up there in Canada. And he brought, you know, Stu Hart knowed me. I talked to Stu. Stu told me about Brody getting killed. I just got back from Europe. I was in 88, I think, and... you know, so, and he wanted me to come up there to Calgary. I never did, but he always wanted me to come up. And you know, we got, you know, got a lot of the, you know, Piper, you know, he worked with the Canadians and the Hearts, and I think Al Tomko was one of the ones that started him. And he worked, you know, down there at Mid-Atlantic, and he worked with Georgia. I remember Piper doing that thing with Don Morocco and Gordon Soley, and Gordon was a good friend of mine as well. And that really got over good, him and Gordon, him taking Gordon's part when Morocco was going to, you know, throw Gordon around. And but you know, Piper's very theatrical too, though. So he had been around so much, and he done really good in Los Angeles as well. You know, back when they ran that Olympic, and he done good in San Francisco. So you know, we had a lot of good minds up there. We had Piper all over, Lynn all over. Then Don just steady, you know, he just wanted to listen to Roddy and Lynn. So he wasn't trying to be the boss. He just wanted to listen, and he wanted to make things better. So it was pretty easy to work with Don.
Carl Stiles, a very nice man. Next time, we will dig deeper into the territory in the late 80s and his transformation from Killer Carl into Country Carl Stiles and where he thought that gimmick could have gone. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on other guys in the territory and a very key piece of advice he got from Roddy Piper. That's all coming up next on the Portland WrestleCast. I'm Jim Valley, and as always, there's excitement in the air.
So long, everybody. From the Portland Sports Arena, this has been Portland Wrestling.